Thank you for sharing what I know is a long scripture from a not often preached on book. Won't you join me in a word of prayer? God, you are worthy of every song that we could ever sing, and every prayer and every commitment and every step that we take toward you, God. You are higher than it all, and yet you invite us into your story. Show us today how you would have us live, and show us how we can find more depth in living in your ways. Amen. So this is a long scripture from a book, as I said, that I suspect you have not heard preached very, very often. I know there's a couple people in this congregation with who are in my disciple class, and you know that we've spent the last week in this portion of Deuteronomy, and this is smack in the middle of a bunch of different laws. There's what to do if your ox runs into somebody else's ox. There's what to do if somebody falls in a ditch that you've dug. There's all these very specific rules between chapter 20 in Deuteronomy and chapter 34 in Deuteronomy. So why in the world, you might ask, Reverend Carissa, why in the world would you pick an obscure passage out of the middle of a bunch of laws in the book of Deuteronomy as we go into this season where we consider stewardship of life? Why in the world? Good question. Well, I want to, as we learned with all of our six sermon series overview of the Bible, I want to start by backing up and giving you a little context for this scripture. Because as we learned, context always helps us understand what it is that the scripture says to us today. When we open up Deuteronomy, we are diving into the heart of the heart of the Hebrew scriptures there in the Torah. And in this part of Deuteronomy specifically, we are diving in right after the giving of the Ten Commandments. So we are listening in as God speaks to a people, the Israelites, who are wandering in the wilderness, trying to figure out what things look like now. These are a people, you might recall, who spent many, many generations in a land that was not their own, living in the land of Egypt and becoming enslaved to the pharaohs. These are people who got really used to a life that was all about producing bricks and making more bricks and more bricks and more bricks. But these are also people who were freed by God's mighty hand and given a promised land that would be their very own. So when we meet them today, they're in that wilderness, the wilderness between slavery and promised land, the wilderness between slavery and future hope. And in this middle wilderness area, they are trying to figure out, what does life look like now? We know what life looked like when Pharaoh was our king. What does life look like now where God is our king and God is the one who defines how we live? And that's why, to answer that question, God gives them the Ten Commandments and all the other laws, one after another, in the book of Deuteronomy. Because it turns out that God cares very much how they live. So much so that God wants to help them through every specific instance in their lives. So God gives them all these very specific instructions for specific scenarios. And one of them, that one that I think really speaks to us today, describes how God wants the people to live when it comes to bringing their offerings to the altar before the Lord. This is how I always picture this, a man bringing his gifts to God before the altar. This part, this tradition, of course, is not brand new in Deuteronomy. This idea of bringing the first fruits of your labor to God as an offering, this goes all the way back to the first family in Genesis with Cain and Abel and bringing the first harvest of the land. It pops up again with Abraham bringing a tenth of what he has gained before God after a skirmish as a way to say, thank you, God, for bringing me out of that battle. This is not a new practice, this bringing a piece of what God has given you. But what is new in this scripture, and what I think is really worth us noticing today, is that this text makes this moment far more than just a transaction. Far more than just a transaction. And in order to help us understand, the text doesn't just describe it. The text gives us a script for how God wants us to bring our offerings. Did you notice it? It's scripted out for you. It's saying, hey, people who are in the wilderness, at some point you are going to get to the promised land. And when you get there, here's how it's going to work. You're going to bring your offering to the altar as a way to say thank you. And when you get there, the priest will take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God, and you shall make this response before the Lord your God. And then it goes on and on. I don't want to put it all on the slide. It's a long paragraph. But it goes on to say, here's how it's going to work. When you get to the promised land, you're not just going to sit there and be happy and have your milk and honey. You're going to have to do something. And part of worshiping when you get to the promised land is giving back a portion. And when you do so, telling your story of how you got there. Telling your story. That's what this long paragraph is. You shall make this response before the Lord your God. Once upon a time, a wandering Aramean was my ancestor, and then he went down to Egypt, and he lived there, and he became populous, and then they became enslaved, but God brought us out with a mighty hand, an outstretched arm, and here we stand, your story will go, in the promised land, and that's why we give God thanks, and that's why we give God praise. The story. The story is what this scripture focuses on more than anything else. This text that is all about giving back to God, it doesn't focus all on the number, the amount that you're supposed to give, or the percentage that you're supposed to give, or the frequency with which you're supposed to give. This scripture focuses on the story around giving. And did you notice? It's not just one person's story. This person is coming and he is telling his story before God. But it's not just his story. It's the history of his whole people. And did you notice this worshiper is coming before God and praising God for the triumph over the Egyptians. But it's not just that one person's triumph over the Egyptians. No, in this text, the worshiper learns that when you bring your gift before God, you are called to tell your story and also praise God for the bigger story that is happening around you. This text shows us that worship is not just about singing, and stewardship is not just about money, and faithfulness is not just about coming to church once a week. Chris, we couldn't have coordinated it better, you guys singing Heart of Worship this morning, because that's what this text is about. It's about the heart of worship, the story at the heart of worship. Because this passage insists that when you come to worship, it's all about integrating the story of your past with the actions of the present so that you can trust God with the story of your future. That is what worship is about. That is what offering is about, not just a transaction. Offering what you have received is about integrating the story of your past, praising God for all that God has done to bring you this far, taking an action in the present, and then saying, look, God, I trust you with the story of my future. How the text ends, doesn't it? It has the worshiper saying, look, God, I have done all this, and so now I trust you and ask you for this blessing. I trust you with the story of the future. This past week, I started reading a book on recommendation of one of our young adults by an author called Brené Brown. And I love everything that she writes. She has a way of really speaking profound truths about the human experience. And I was starting to read this book in the midst of meditating on this text and thinking about this sermon and what God has given me to say to you. And as I read this book, this one paragraph just about knocked me out. And as I read it, I thought, how in the world could this author, who wrote this book how many months ago before it got published, how could this author know that this is what the text in Deuteronomy is trying to say to my people this Sunday? So here it is. I almost didn't give it to you because it's so long, but it is so good. In an opening chapter, Brené Brown's talking about the experience of true belonging. And she defines true belonging, and she says that this is what it means. She says, true belonging is the spiritual practice of believing in and belonging to yourself so deeply that you can share your most authentic self with the world and find sacredness, holiness, sacredness in both being part of something and in standing alone in the wilderness. True belonging, she says, it doesn't require you to change who you are. It requires you to be who you are. True belonging. It's not about fitting in or wearing the right clothes or having the same interests or learning the right lingo. True belonging requires you to be who you are. I have to tell you that I was listening to this book on Audible as I commuted, and I had to stop and rewind the text to say that again, Brené, say that again. Because here's the thing. This is what I want for you as your pastor. As your pastor, this true belonging, this kind of true belonging, is what I hope you find here in this congregation. We want you here in this place to find both of those underlined parts. We want you to find the sacredness in being part of something that is bigger than yourself, in a movement, a family, a community that is moving with God's Spirit in the world. We want you to find the holiness in being part of something that is bigger than yourself. That's what this guy in Deuteronomy is experiencing, right? He comes before the altar and he tells his story, but it's not just his story. It's the story of him being part of something bigger than himself, the whole Exodus and freedom and liberation from Egypt. Part of something bigger than yourself. But at the same time, I don't want you to just assimilate into some sort of congregation of identical robots. I don't need 500 robots that all think and look and act the same way. I need you to also find the sacredness in standing in who you are, even if that means sometimes standing alone in the wilderness. Whether that wilderness is admitting in a Bible study, hey, look, I don't think I agree with this thing that you're teaching here, and maybe we should talk about that. Or whether it means sitting in a meeting and going, hey, I don't think this is the right move. I think we should consider this deeper. Whatever it looks like, there is sacredness in standing alone in the wilderness. That's what this guy is doing in Deuteronomy, is he not? Although he stands on the shoulder of his ancestors, he's also standing alone before the altar, giving up a portion of those things that could keep him safe and secure, the bounty that he's received. He's giving that up. He's vulnerable. He's by himself, and he's saying, look, God, I need you. I need you to give back to me all the blessings that you have promised. True belonging, sharing your authentic self, your most authentic self. That's what this whole sermon series and stewardship campaign is all about. It's called I'm In, because we want you to bring your most authentic self here to this church and to say, with all of me, I am all in. And that's going to require telling some of our stories and claiming our place in God's church. We have the chance now, we have a short video I want to share with you as some of our congregation members share some of their stories. I think it's on the next slide. Yeah. Great.
My name is Judith Weinmeier, and I've been a member of Spurgeworth United Methodist since the early 80s. And I've been involved with Sunday school, music, UMW, BIM, committee work. But my very favorite thing is the Appalachia Service Project because of how it touches our kids. I'm a quilter, and I lead the quilt industry here. And one time I was shopping at a local store in Spring Park for fabric, and a young person waiting on me asked me what I was making. And I said, projects for ASP. And I said, it's Spring Park, United Methodist Church. She says, oh, I went on a week. It changed my mind.
We have a great church. The words and music inspire me, and the people here are really my spiritual family. What I have benefited most, though, is from our small groups, where my faith has deepened, and I've had a chance to share my spiritual journey along with learning the importance of others.
I'm Carolyn Heim, and I love this church, and what I especially like is the missions, and the mission I'm really interested in is Winter Relief. And Winter Relief is a wonderful opportunity to serve this church right here at home. You can serve and love your fellow homeless people. So what is Winter Relief? Winter Relief is where we take about 45 men and women into the church, provide beds, meals, laundry services, activities, and so much more. So join us sometime and be involved in Winter Relief.
I think one of the most important things that we have is our prayer group. Our prayer group is a group that meets weekly, and some meet in their homes, and they all lift up those of the needs that our congregation has. We thank God that we have this place that we can call our church home.
My husband, Josh, and I got a very quick calling from the Lord to go full-time missionaries in China for a couple of years. And not only did we experience just quick and abundant generosity in terms of financial support that allowed us to pick up and move to do full-time mission work, but the generosity also just kept coming throughout our time there, and notes from people in the church letting us know they were praying for us. We received 100 Christmas cards written by some of the students in NYF, also just encouraging us, and it was just an outpouring during that time for us.
I truly believe in Christian education, and it has helped me tremendously. I still remember the different disciple classes that I've taken, and a key point that Dick LeGarry had mentioned. Dick, I know you're sitting there in the sanctuary, when you had said, whatever time you give up for God, God will give back to you. And it's just such a big blessing knowing that you give up time for the study and for the learning. But a really big, big change in my thought process in my life has been the Making Sense of the Bible, a book study that Pastor Ron taught. The Bible was not dictated by God. It was written by people that were inspired by God, and realize I learned not to take the Bible literally, because we don't accept a number of the things that have been written in there, slavery, about women, and so on. And even the course that I'm taking now with Lee Farrell about revival and the story of John Wesley, such a powerful study, learning about the history of Methodism.
Hi, I'm Doris Vos. I've been a member of the Severna Park United Methodist Church since the early 70s. I think the thing that brings me back to this church and keeps me coming is the fact that there's something for everybody, from the little children to the oldest adults. Recently, as a breast cancer survivor, I began a support group for all kids. cancer patients. And our support group is growing. I think it's a mission that will be very important to our church. We just have so much outreach with this community. Our pastors are wonderful. They're loving and kind. And I just can't say enough about this church. It means so much to me.
Over the next few weeks, you'll be hearing many more stories like these. Stories of people who have found themselves drawn more deeply into their faith here in our congregation. For some people, they were drawn more deeply in just because they found some friends here. For other people, I know that it was their children who drew them to be here, and then once the kids made them keep coming back, the parents found they were growing too. For other people, it was a spiritual mentor they found here, or some of our kids, it's just those donuts that will keep them coming. But no matter what has brought people here, we have found that once they dig in here, there is a deeper story that binds us all together. And that's the deeper story of what God is doing by freeing us and transforming us every single day. Friends, I know that you are already a faithful people because at 9:30 on a beautiful Sunday morning, you chose to be here in this place to worship. But I want to ask you to take one more step this week, to go one step deeper. And I want to ask you to find some way this week to think about or share a little bit of your faith story. Maybe it means over lunch chatting with your family. Maybe it means just journaling about it. But I want to encourage you to think and share your story of how God has brought you this far. And my prayer is that when you integrate that story of your past, that it moves you to worship and to give and to love more deeply than ever before. And my prayer is that when you take that action, that that's going to lead you to deeper and deeper trust in God, the one who will write our future stories till the end. Thanks be to God. Amen.